If you're looking for ways to improve your mental health these days, taking up writing might be a good option to consider. Research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association links writing about stressful life experiences to improved health. And you don't have to write about your stress. You could write for other reasons. Some fiction, maybe. Write about your family history, a poem, a journal, whatever it might be. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you ever try to do some creative writing or even journaling? What does it do for you? What have you been writing lately? Have you managed to make it a habit? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tara DePrah is a lecturer of English and Writing Foundations at UW-Green Bay. Her writing has appeared in such places as The Washington Post, Creative Nonfiction, and Inside Higher Ed. Tara, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I think a lot of people might hear that and think, oh, writing is great for the writers. I'm not a writer, so this isn't about me. Should we all think of ourselves as at least having the potential to do some writing?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest misnomers about writing. Elizabeth Gilbert has a wonderful book on creativity called Big Magic. And she says, if you're alive, you're a creative person. So I'm here to give everyone who's listening permission to write.
I think, well, one of my thing that holds me back from writing, even if I'm not ever going to show it to somebody else, is, I guess, a self-consciousness. I know I'm not going to be a great writer, so I don't even want to start. How do you overcome that, Tara?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think everyone faces as writers, professional writers, beginning writers. You know, the first thing really is just to give yourself a sense of permission to write. The other thing you can do is give yourself permission not to write. If you don't have the time or the space in your life right now, you can do it at any time in your life. It's not ballet. You're not going to expire at a certain age. I didn't write for several years when I had my second child because I didn't sleep. So I just didn't have the space, and that's okay. But it's never too late.
There's a lot of variety, of course, in things we can write. We don't have to sit down and write, you know, a Tolstoy-length novel. Can you talk about, I guess, the effort to find which kind of writing might be right for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think whatever you choose should be something that you care deeply about. If you care about a topic, you can find a way to write about it, and you can find a medium to write about it. You can write poetry about it. You can work it into a novel. You can write essays, or you can just write privately for yourself in a journal. So what you just need to center the thing that you care about most in the world in your writing.
We're talking to Tara DePrah, lecturer in English and Writing Foundations at UW-Green Bay, talking about the benefits and joy of writing and how to get started. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you keep a journal? Do you write poetry for yourself or maybe to share with others? Do you have a novel in the works? Tell us about your own writing story. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tara, I know you've given a lot of thought to the mental health benefits of writing and writing about maybe tough times in our lives. Can you tell us some of the possible benefits?
Yeah, so I think at a basic level, writing just helps us experience and order the world. It helps us pay attention. It helps us make sense of problems that we might be having in our personal lives or problems that we see in the world. So from a very simple perspective, it does the work of cognitive restructuring, just like talking to a therapist might. But, you know, it's free and it's something you can do privately. Writing can help you relieve stress and anxiety on a very basic level. But it's not just the cathartic effect of writing that is good for you. There's research out there that links writing about stressful experiences to improved health, and this holds true over time. So, you know, as long as you're enjoying it and it, you know, you're not feeling like overwhelmed or whatever, like it's going to help you. It's going to be good for you in the short term and in the long term.
As you said, part of writing is sometimes allowing ourselves not to write. But that said, do you have thoughts on how people who think, yeah, I want to do this and I want to keep myself doing it on at least a somewhat regular basis, how can we get into a habit of writing, whatever kind of writing we choose to try?
Yeah, this is something I think about all the time because I try to teach students how to become writers, and it's something I'm always thinking about for myself as well. I really like the book by Charles Duhigg called The Power of Habit. It's not about writing at all. It's about habits. And he talks about how for any habit formation, there's three elements. There's a cue, a routine, and a reward. And so the routine would be the writing itself. Like, that's the thing we want to try to do more regularly. So if you can create cues for yourself, you can make that easier. And cues can be anything from, like, a cup of coffee or the right music or being in the same place or at the same time every day. The cue helps make the habit automatic, so you don't waste mental space arguing with yourself about, like, what else you should be doing right now or what else you could be doing because you don't feel like writing. You just do it. It becomes automatic. And then the reward is the part that keeps you going. And for me, you know, and I think for a lot of writers, the reward is the writing itself. It's the feeling that you get while you're writing, that state of flow you can enter. Or it can be something more tangible at times, like when I was under a big deadline, I would literally give myself a gold star on my calendar for every hour that I wrote.
Let's bring out a caller at 800-642-1234. Kathleen is with us in Gresham. Kathleen, hi.
Hi. I just totally agree that writing is very important. And I used to write to women in prison in Texas, and I'm in Wisconsin. And one of them asked me, would you teach my Sally how to read and write? And I thought, how am I ever going to do that? So I asked her Sally, to just write whatever she could, put it on a piece of paper, whatever, I didn't care. And she sent me the outline of her hand and the words, here be a hug. And that's one of the most powerful things I've read all my life, and that's one of them that just hit me. And then I wrote back that somebody could read it to her, that she could just write whatever she felt. And this woman who had failed school, who ended up on drugs, who ended up in prison, wrote me the most beautiful letters when she felt secure enough to write, that no one was judging her. It was just wonderful. So I just encourage everybody to write. So thank you for having this program.
Kathleen, thank you. Wow, what a story. One thing that makes me think, Tara, is you can make an eloquent and powerful statement, even if you don't have a lot of the words necessarily and the writing skills that you might think you need.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, writing is something that anyone can do. My 4-year-old can do it, and he can just write a few letters. It's a way of putting your consciousness onto the page for yourself to see or to share with others if you choose to do that.
Also, she mentioned the idea of that lack of judgment. Now, if you want to be a professional writer and share things with other people, eventually there's probably going to be some judgment in there. But for those opening stages, or if we're just writing for ourselves, how do we shut down that judgment that tells us it's not worth it to write this down?
Oh, yeah. The inner critic. That's a powerful force. You know, I think most kinds of writer's block are fear-related. They're related to your inner critic. It's the imposter syndrome that's telling you that other people are better than you, so why bother? It's, you know, the voice of maybe your angry mother who wants you to be perfect or something like that. So I think if we can, you know, start to recognize those voices and listen to them, and thank them for trying to protect you from getting hurt, and then wish them well, send them on their way. That's a really wonderful place to start. But just, I think it's important to remind yourself that you have permission to write. And the first attempt at anything is not going to be perfect, right? That's the wonderful thing about writing, is that you have a chance to do it over again. You get to revise.
Thanks for that call. We'll bring on Mike now in Carpentersville, Illinois. Mike, hello.
Hi. I called to say I'm 31. I just started journaling like 4 months ago. Just about like the marital stress in my life and any other things that are on my mind. And I found it very cathartic. It's been good.
That's interesting. And Mike, do you go back and read what you wrote, 4 months ago?
Yeah, I do. It's all digital right on my phone in a locked app. And sometimes I edit it a little to add. But it's good to revisit and see what's changed or gotten better or need to see again.
Mike, thank you so much. And that, Tara, is part of the value I've heard from some people on journaling, to be able to go back and see what their state of mind was 4 months ago or 40 years ago. It's kind of a marker of our current state of mind and how we change over time.
Yeah, absolutely. Another writer that I love, Joan Didion, has an essay called On Keeping a Notebook. And she says, the point is to remember what it was to be me. So it's keeping on terms with your former self and seeing yourself change over time.
Thanks a lot for sharing your journaling story with us. We're talking to Tara DePras, lecturer in English and Writing Foundations at UW Green Bay. She's joining us to talk about the writing process, how it can be good for us, and how to get started. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you write for fun, relaxation, reflection, maybe therapy? Have you been wanting to start a writing habit, but you haven't gotten it to stick quite yet? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Tara DePras, lecturer in English and Writing Foundations at UW Green Bay. She's helping us create writing habits of our own, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Cody is with us in Watertown. Hi, Cody.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what'd you want to tell us about?
So I'm an avid outdoorsman and it's duck season right now. So I bring my phone out into the blind and there's lots of time in the morning before you can really do anything. And I've started writing down what I hear, what I see, what's around me, the environment, and trying to write it poetically like Aldo Leopold or Norm MacLean. And it's just been like really nice to like look back and like reflect on what's happening around me at the moment.
Do you feel, Cody, like you are, I don't know, more connected or conscious of what's going around you when you take that effort to note things and write them down?
Definitely. And I think that's been like a hard time for me. I think I'm an educator as well, so I've been very stressed. And sometimes like when you're really stressed, doing the things you love is hard to do, but you need to like keep doing them. And writing for me has helped me to like connect more with nature and like those things that I do love and enjoy.
Fantastic, Cody. Thanks for sharing that. Tara, the word that pops into my head there is mindfulness. It sounds like taking these notes about a thing you would have been doing anyway is helping him connect and be conscious of the world around him. And he says it's helping deal with that stress. What do you think?
Yeah. I think of writing as a kind of a meditation at times. And I often tell myself and students as well, like, if you don't know what to do or what to write, start with description. Because it helps you to focus, to slow down, to pay attention, to connect with the world around you. And doing it out in nature is one of the absolute best ways to do that. Deep descriptive writing is what's going to help you find your subject, the thing that you really care about. And it's going to help you find your writing voice, too.
Cody, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Deborah joins us next in Brown Deer. Deborah, hello.
Hello. I have a phone appointment with a therapist in about an hour. So I took my notepad and I started writing down what I'm going to say to him so I just don't go off on any tangents. And I, as I was doing that, your program came on. And so
wow.
I have to say, I want to hear just about a paragraph. It'll be 1 minute. What I wrote?
Go for it.
So I'm staying at home in my very tiny apartment, trying to figure out where to put my desk, a table, a bed, and books. But since I don't have any of those things, not here at least, I can just imagine where to put them when I do move them here. So it's just like confirming things in my mind of what's going to happen. But just to formalize like an appointment. I've always loved writing. I'm not trying to be a professional and write a book, but that would be nice someday.
Deborah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story, collecting her thoughts, using Writing Tarot to collect her thoughts in this case before meeting with her therapist, a very, very direct mental health benefit there, I think.
Yeah, so two things really struck me about what Deborah said. One, she talked about trying to avoid tangents. And, you know, I'm actually a big fan of tangents. I think that writing gets really interesting when you follow the tangents. It might help you get to the thing that you wanted to say all along that you forgot about or didn't think you should talk about. And the other thing that I really liked was this idea of imagining. A big part of writing absolutely is imagination. I think a lot of writers start with their lived experience, which is a great foundation. But then, you know, taking the leap into imagination helps you imagine other lives, other possibilities. So those are great skills for writers.
Deborah, thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. We are talking about writing with Tara DePraw from UW Green Bay. She says we can all probably benefit from writing, and we could pick the style and how much we want to put into it. Back to your calls now. AJ is with us in Green Bay. AJ, hello.
Hey there, guys. How you doing?
Good. What you want to tell us about AJ?
Okay, here's the story. My brother-in-law, a few years ago, when he was doing his master's in teaching, he had to write a paper. And in his studies, he had come across that the art of writing forces your brain to hold a thought pattern because you can think so much faster than you can write. It holds that thought pattern as you get the words and stuff down on paper. And he said it was an excellent way to help ward off the effects of, like, Alzheimer's and all these other diseases because it's the most taxing for your brain.
Interesting, AJ. I'd never heard that, Tara. Have you heard that it's really good brain exercise?
You know, I haven't heard anything about, like, Alzheimer's in particular, but I do think of writing as a kind of exercise for your brain. I think the more you do it, the easier it gets. It becomes like it's a muscle, essentially. And so, like anything, if you practice, it gets easier. And that kind of ties back to the habit thing we were talking about. You know, I think even if you only write one sentence a day or one paragraph a day, or you do it three times a week, the quantity is less important than the habit. Even if it's tiny, if you do it consistently, it will get easier.
Thanks for that call. Bob joins us now in Lake Geneva. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What have you been writing, Bob?
Well, I wrote a book called What a Ride. I'm 79 years old. I wrote the book about 5 years ago. And just my life experiences. We've been married for 60 years, and we raised 8 children, and we had 12 foster kids, and it was just all of these different people into our life and my different jobs and fundraising. And I was on the board for a homeless shelter in Kenosha called the Shalom Center. And we were also working with a orphanage in Honduras. And I decided to raise money for both of those. So I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow. Okay.
And raised $50,000. So we took $25,000 and gave it to each one of the orphanages. So just little things like that. We're talking about our magnificent marriage. My wife and I met each other in fifth grade.
That's great. Bob, your line's breaking up a little. I'm sorry, but thank you so much for sharing that. And Tara, I've had family members doing not a whole book like Bob did, but, you know, answering, there's websites where you can answer prompt questions and write little essays about things you've done in your lives. And I got to say, having some family members who are genealogists, Bob's book is going to be pure gold for them down the road. Just taking our life experiences and putting them to paper could be pretty rewarding, can't it?
Yeah, it's a wonderful way to leave a legacy for your family as well, to have that record. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. He fought in the D-Day battle, and he recorded an oral history that's in the D-Day Museum in New Orleans, and he's not with us any longer, and so it's really wonderful to have that story captured, and we have it in print as well.
Bob, thanks so much for that call. I appreciate it. In our last little less than a minute, Tara, can you leave us with maybe a prompt if somebody feels inspired to try something tonight?
Oh, okay. You're putting me on the spot here. Yeah,
yes.
Prompts are wonderful. I mean, first, you know, you can find them everywhere. I love the Poets and Writers magazine and online for writing prompts. One of the first prompts that I give to students at the beginning of our Intro to Creative Writing class is called the one-inch picture frame. It comes from Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird. And the idea is all you have to write is what you can see in a one-inch picture frame. So it could be a literal photograph that you have hanging up somewhere that's meaningful to you, or it can be an idea that's in your mind. But if you can frame it within 1 inch and start with descriptive detail and describing the image, that will eventually lead you to a larger narrative of, you know, what else is going on that you can't see in that 1 inch picture.
All right. Take it away, listeners. Tara, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Tara DePraz is a lecturer in English and Writing Foundations at UW Green Bay. She joined us with some inspiration about the benefits of writing.